Then in 79, in the fall of 79, you were returning home from school, and you were involved in an accident.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that for us?
Yeah, I had worked at the Cherokee Nation for about 3 years or 4 years. You know, I'd done some planning and started some programs and that sort of thing. And they offered a really good program at the University of Arkansas in the School of Architecture, which was community development, which is basically developing the infrastructure. And I knew how to develop the people, but the infrastructure and that sort of thing. Anyway, I was in that program full-time, living on a graduate assistantship, just not making it. So I called Ross Swimmer, who was the principal chief at that time, and asked if I could do some consulting work for the Cherokee Nation. He said I could. I took the day off from school and was on my way to Tahlequah when I just turned onto Highway 100, about maybe 4 miles from our house, when my friend, Sherry Morris, passed another car, and I couldn't see her. I was coming up a hill, and she was in my lane, and we hit each other head-on. She was killed. Two ambulances came. They used a lot of equipment to dig both of us out of the cars, and Sherry was dead in the ambulance on the way to Tahlequah. I was taken to Stillwell and stabilized, and then for some reason, only the Creator knows, I was taken to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And there happened to be a guy there who was an orthopedic surgeon who developed a proprietary method of sewing bones back together using stainless steel thread. He showed my mom a x-ray of my leg, and there was no bone from my knee to my ankle. It has all gathered in my ankle, and he asked my mother, I was, of course, unconscious, if they could amputate my leg, and she said, I'm not going to give you permission to do that. She said, when she wakes up, if she wants to do that, she can give you permission, but I'm not going to do that. Try to figure something out. So he spent hours and hours and hours there sewing the bones back together using stainless steel thread, which is why I've been able to walk all these years. If Alcatraz was a turning point, the accident was a watershed. I went from being a 32-year-old graduate student to being in a wheelchair and my friend being killed. So it had a profound and lasting impact on me.
You talked about your leg, but I believe your face was crushed.
My face was crushed, and I still have, I'm always coughing because I crushed the front of my face, and so it messed up all my plumbing in my nose and that sort of thing, and so there's been a permanent impact for that. And then my ribs were crushed. My right leg was crushed, but my left leg was broken, so I had cast on both legs. That was a very, very tough time. And Sherry was, I just saw her husband yesterday, or her widower. And anyway, Sherry was young and very beautiful. She'd been either the runner-up to Miss Mississippi or Miss University of Mississippi. And just that period of time, she had said, you know, I'm sick of wearing makeup all the time and exercising obsessively. She said, I think I'm over that. She was just kind of coming into her own as a woman. She was interested in education. She was a mom. Her daughter's now in graduate school. My own injuries were bad, but that was horrible, very horrible.
You spent about a year in recovery?
I spent about a year in recovery. Not all of it was related to the accident. Part of it was related to the accident, but in a bizarre circumstance, I developed myasthenia gravis while I was recovering. I couldn't hold things. I lost control of my eyes, lost about 40 pounds. I started having trouble chewing. At first, all the doctors thought that I'd had brain damage in the car wreck and couldn't diagnose it. And this is the value of television. I was laying on the couch watching the Labor Day MDA telethon, and there was a woman on there who had myasthenia gravis, and her symptoms were exactly like mine. That was on a weekend, a Labor Day weekend. Following Monday, I called the MDA in Tulsa and said, I think I have that. The MDA took me into their office and diagnosed me that same day. And so I had a thymectomy, the removal of my thymus and other treatment. All this was while I was in a wheelchair or on crutches. And so it was a tough year. You can think about that one way, or you can think about it and think, I'm alive. I've lived an exciting life since that time. And so I can't fixate on having lingering injuries or health problems related to that. It's just all in your perspective and how you choose to think about it.
And you were 30, how old?
I think I was 32.
32. Did you ever envision you would never come out of this? Did you think that?
I did more in relation to the myasthenia gravis than I did the car wreck, because by the time I was diagnosed, it had started to affect, it affects your muscles, and so it had started to affect my breathing. I thought at that time that I might not survive that. But I've been blessed with just the way my mind clicks off at negative stuff. It just goes to something else.
Depression set in?
No.
Because of that ability, apparently, to click off.
Yeah. For some reason, I've thought most of my adult life that if you start focusing on all the things that are wrong in your work or your health or your marriage or your children or, you know, the world, it's a slippery slope. And I always thought that it's not a slope I want to get on. And so I think that we don't have much control over what the Creator sends our way in the course of our lifetime. Can't control everything, but we can control how we think about it. So that's been what I've done. I've made a conscious, deliberate choice that I was not going to do that. People can look at my health history. I've had cancer 3 times. I've had 2 kidney transplants. And my response is I could go down a hospital corridor any day of the week and find people worse than I am, and people who don't have health insurance, and I have health insurance. Yeah. So it's all a matter of, you know, you can control it in your own head. And if there's a defining characteristic about me that's different, it's probably that. Otherwise, I'm pretty ordinary. I would have never been able to do the things that I've done if I wasn't a positive person. So I think that I was just given this gift. My dad always described me as a sunny child. The only thing that differentiated me from all these other kids was that I'd always find if there was something bad going on, I was the one who would always say, yeah, but this, or yeah, but that, or, you know, find another way of looking at it.
To help you come out of this, too, I think for therapy, you continued to work?
I continued to work. I came to work in a wheelchair. Ross Swimmer was always very good to me and made sure that I had work, mostly writing at that time, but I stayed busy.